I called her up just to tell her I wanted her to speak to you just for a couple of minutes about something that's been on her heart. And she thought she was already getting embarrassed because I was going to sing to her. If I'd have thought about it, I would have. I apologize. So take the heart instead of the song.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I thought that this was going to be for another time, but he asked me to share it with you this morning. I don't know, after the service last week, it was quite a while, it seemed like, before I could really get into fellowship and get off of what God was dealing with me about. And it hung with me for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, part of what God was dealing with me about, I see now because of something that happened earlier in the week. It's like, okay, so that's what this was all about. And one of the things that the Lord was dealing with me about was, I thought, well, let's see, mothers, and I was thinking about the first mother. You know, beyond me, beyond my mom, beyond Stan's mom, beyond our you know, the first mother. And so I spent some time this week in Genesis, and one of the things that really just, it stuck out with me, and it, you guys know the story probably better than I do, but in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 20, it says, "And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living." And I looked up Eve and I looked up mother, and that translated, that number, that particular number translated mother, bond of the family. And I know that that's not exactly where Stan wanted me to go, but I wanted to share that with you too. But, you know, I thought about the decision, the thing that Eve did, Adam and Eve, the thing that they did changed generations. I don't know why, but I'm really starting to get a burn in my heart about generations for some reason, and I don't know why. And one of the decisions, or one of the things that came to us this week, the wrong decision could affect so many lives. Anyway, I don't know where that's going to go, but I just want to encourage each and every one of you. It's not just about mothers, it's about you fathers. And even Jonathan and Amanda, you don't realize the decisions that you make, what it's going to do for generations to come, where it's going to take those generations. Anyway, I guess that's all I had to share. But God's up to something. I don't know. Maybe somebody else is teaching on it or something, but there's really a burn in my heart about making the right decision for generations to come. Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. And that doesn't just deal with bad decisions, that deals with good decisions. In fact, that's what God would be wanting us to focus on. Now, there's nothing wrong with us having a little bit of respect and fear. That will cause us to make right decisions. Amen? But in Well, I'll get to that in a second. In the Old Testament, it could mean the definition she said. But in the New Testament, if you look that word up, it's a root word. There's no other word that describes mother except mother. I was surprised as I looked that up this morning. You know, most of the time when you look up a word, there's a definition. But you go to the New Testament and you look at the word mother and it just says root word. It's kind of like there is no real definition. I've kind of covered a lot of things in that area. All right. I hope her word encouraged you to be conscientious about your decisions, knowing that it's not about you and you need Him to make them. We'll just cover her message in the last two songs. All right. Father, we give this time to you. We give these people and ourselves to you. Let me be an oracle straight from your heart this morning. And we know that will recreate in us light for darkness, and that's what we want. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The title of my message this morning is Mother's Already There. Mother is already there. Now, this is just a real simple little message, but I thought last week's message was really simple. I'm learning more and more that it's the simple things that God deals with. He doesn't really need a whole room full of theologians. If we can just get the simple theology down, He can make us complicated when necessary. Amen? Today we want to honor the mothers in the house, but we also want to learn from God. Now let's go back to the beginning and say this. God made man for fellowship. Mankind for fellowship. Actually, He didn't. He made man for fellowship. If you're going to go correctly, He did that for also to take care of the world. Did you know that? Two things. One, for fellowship. That's usually what we get, I think egotistically, we get hung up on. He created us for fellowship, but He also said, you are the tender of my garden, which means you're going to take care of the world. The world, remember the decisions she's talking about? The decisions you make are going to care for, or not care for, the world. That's what man was created for. And then if you'll look chronologically, then God, then Adam went to naming everything. Mother is not God's word. Mother is Adam's word. God didn't call Eve mother, no more than He called Mary mother. Eve's name, given in Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living things. Now, can I ask you a question? Where did all living things come from? Then how could Eve be the mother of all living things? Well, that's what Adam called her. Not what God called her. Okay, that's exactly right. You need to remember in Genesis that Adam and Eve, according to their decisions, ushered in death and regeneration. Up until that point, all living things were all living things because there weren't any dying things. Sin brings death and destruction. From man, Eve was created. Actually, that's not right. From man, woman, a man with a womb, was created. Woman. And Adam called her Eve. Now, do you know what puts the instincts in the little girls to be a mother? Adam called her mother. You know, I want you to get this. Adam was given the responsibility of naming. What we say, oh, well, a name, that's a bottle, that's a shoe. We don't think there's any importance in those things. But then Adam called her the mother of living things, of all living things. And since that very moment, there's been a mother in every little girl that's ever been born. Now, does our words mean something? Do our words mean something? Do our intent and actions mean something? You cannot have a little girl born without the mother's instinct. You can have idiot parents take it out of them and a crazy society try to take it out of them, but when they're little bitty, there's a mother's instinct there. It's already there. That little girl is already a mother in making. Now, I want to try to encourage you today, again, in the already there theory. So we'll quit trying to make things up and just enjoy the things that are already there. Quit kicking against the pricks by believing what society believes. Society wants to teach us that there are men that were born female, they just had the wrong organs. And that there are women that are born men, but they have the wrong organs. That would go against your word of God. Don't you fall prey to that idiocy, that satanic death that's trying to be spread. God never makes a mistake in birth. I told my wife this week, I said, it's absolutely amazing that the millions and millions and billions of people that are born, and there's a billion different decisions made in each one of those bodies, and 99.9% of them are born correct. You got a billion to one chance, a billion to one chance to be right, and you end up right. Now, God does things pretty good. If it weren't for sin, there wouldn't be a one in a billion chance. Now, I want you to get that down. When the next time you hear some poor, spiritually and mentally screwed up man or woman trying to tell you, like I heard from that wacko the other day on television, when you hear from people that want their organs put off or glued on or whatever they have to do to change genders, that they've known that they were the opposite sex since they were 6 or 7 or 8 years old. No, something got into their brain that was not supposed to be there. And your brain, just as Adam's brain said, call her mother, that got into his brains and he did that. It created forever motherhood. Forever. To not be changed by society. It's amazing, and I can see it more in the granddaughters than I can see it in other people's kids, because you get closer. But a little girl, she wants to make house from the minute she's born, it seems like. She gets picky about her room and her clothes. What a weird thing. She wants to start having little babies around her when she's still a baby. She starts trying to be a mother when she's being mothered. Why is that? Well, that's, society would tell you that's society. Bullcorn. Bologna sausage. I'll tell you what, that's nonsense. That little girl is going to pick up something and start taking care of it if it's a rock. And society's not going to convince her until a later date that that could be wrong. Why is that? Because in that little package, because from the foundations of the earth, mother was already put in every female. It's already there. If we could get the confidence by looking at this, if we could get the confidence that we are already who we are supposed to be the minute we're born, we cannot be ashamed. We can go forth with it. We can trust that it's from God. And unless we allow it to be perverted, it is 100% correct. I'll not be ashamed if I'm a warrior. Nobody's going to make me ashamed. I'll stomp you in the ground if you try. That's what warriors would do, right? Mothers, you're going to do it your way, but I'm not going to understand it. I'm just going to let you do that. Because I'm not going where you're at. That would be against the will of God. Don't ask me to find my feminine side because I don't have one. I don't have a mother's side, so don't you try to ask me to be a mother. And by the same token, don't you let some crazy society say you can be mother and father to both, because it does not work. Our prison systems are proving that every day. In Revelation 1:8, this is going to seem like a strange approach, but I want you to listen to me. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is and who was and who is to come? The Almighty. Well, that's a strange scripture to use for Mother's Day. Well, let me tell you what the thing that I noticed this morning. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. God is showing two sides of Himself. Did you know male and female both came from God? And when He says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, that's two sides of God that He's showing. We need to look at society as at least two sides of God. Now, come on. I'm a side of God. She's a side of God. That's why they were divided. Well, I don't know if that's why they were divided, but they were divided. And now that's why we are what we are. It's already there. And if you get screwed up and become a homosexual, that just means I'm not satisfied with me. I hate me and I'd like to be somebody else. Or I'm so in love with me that I want to find somebody just like me. That's homosexual. Then something has gotten in there that's not of our Maker. It's intolerable, unacceptable, and sick. It makes God sick. We need to teach this loud and long and strong and every day of the week. If we could understand that, we could understand true male and female and a division between the two that will never cross over. Can't do it by cross-dressing? Don't even try. You're just shooing yourself up bad. An effeminate man is a perversion from God's design, as is a masculine woman. What's a pervert? A pervert is anything that's out of God's order. Physically and spiritually, that's what a pervert is. You don't have to be obnoxious or hateful about it. You just need to understand that anything that's out of God's order is a perversion. And one that takes part of that in that is a pervert. God said that He was the beginning and the end. These two are real. Everybody believe in a beginning and an end?
Yep. Yeah.
Then they're real. But they cannot be the same. One cannot do without the other. Because if there wasn't a beginning, there wouldn't be an end. And if there wasn't an end, there wouldn't be a beginning, right? All right. But the beginning cannot be the end, and the end cannot be the beginning. Our society begins to fall apart when the mother thinks she can also be the father. And the father thinks he can be a mother. Now let's just look at something that's pretty basic to all of us. Two different attitudes, two different designs. Let's set up mother and father side by side. Let's hear what they say about their children. Okay? Just a couple little things to make us think. Mother says, she hears the baby crying. She says, let me feed the baby. Dad hears the baby crying. Says, get something in that kid's mouth. It's not the same instinct and it's not the same feeling. Right? Mother's always, I can't understand this to save me, but the mother in a woman looks at a baby and says, oh, that baby's so cute. I don't care how ugly that thing is. And they're all ugly when they're born. Ain't nothing pretty about a newborn baby. But they'll all talk about how pretty and cute they are. That's what the mother says. That baby's so cute. The father looks at that ugly wrinkled thing and says, I hope it can play ball. You smell this smell in a room. And you know it's the kid. The mother says, let me change your diaper. Dad says, get the hose. I'm not trying to make fun of either one of these. I'm trying to tell you that those two attitudes are not supposed to come together. It's the way it's supposed to be. Because there is a soft influence and there's a hard influence. They're both from God. There's an effeminate influence and there's a masculine influence. And they both come from God. There's a sweet, nurturing attitude. And then there's this boot tip attitude that wants people to go further, faster. And they're both from God. And neither one should be ashamed. Now the mother sends the baby off to school or the kid off to school and she says, be nice. Dad hits him on the rear and says, "Win." Doesn't take nice, just win. Mother says, "Don't get dirty." Dad says, "Have fun." Same kid. Mother says, "Be sweet." Dad says, "Don't take guff from no one." Come on, they're both right. I don't know why in society that we let people judge us in what God put in us. Mom says, "Don't get hurt." Dad says, "Play hard." Can't do anything right unless there's a little bloodshed. Now, isn't that what the Father said? Isn't that what He told Jesus? While Mary was saying, "Oh, don't do that to my Jesus." The two have a fight. Mom says, "Give your sister a kiss." Dad says, "Kiss this." Anybody ever have their mother tell you to kiss their sibling? Well, they never got me to do that, I can tell you that. Especially if we were fighting. Mom says, "Keep your clothes clean." Dad says, "Run faster and jump higher." Mom says, "Good job." Dad says, "Do better next time." Come on. And if you don't say it, you should. Mom says, "Give me a hug." And the male child says, "Oh, Mom." And the female child runs and gives Mom a hug. Right? It already starts. Even in a male child. Kiss this and "Oh, Mom." I'm trying to get across something to you. Both of them are right. And if you don't have both of the influences, you end up with a pervert. You end up with a Michael Jackson. That's an example of an overbearing father. We wonder why there's so many young little girls being molested and killed right now. Just go back to the parents of the guy that's doing it, and you're going to have the answer. You're going to have the answer. Satan, there was a door open to Satan through some pervert parent, and that's what is turning out right now. And the perverts themselves, the molesters and the murderers, are saying to themselves, "The minute you let me go, I'm going to do it again." And we're not smart enough to squish them like a bug because we got too much effeminate spirit in the United States.
That's right.
When a man is getting out of jail and says, "I'll do it again," you ought to take your sword out and just whack everything off that he can do it with. And if that don't do, whack the head off too. That's what men would do. And that's what they should do.
Right.
And while their mother... I'll tell you what, I saw recently, I don't know if you remember this, it's about a couple of weeks ago when this guy was in jail, and he grabbed the sheriff's or the deputy sheriff's pistol, and he killed him and ran, jumped out the window and ran. You remember that? They caught him. He jumped out of a third floor window and got bruised up. I don't know how much, because he also got bruised up when they caught him. Now, if I'd have caught him, I'd have killed him. Then they had to try me. But they brought him into court with what they call a spit shield, if anybody saw this. Had that covered the nose and the mouth so he couldn't spit. Because he was bleeding some. I don't know if he was bleeding from the fall out of the third floor window or the guys that met him. I really don't care. They should have killed him. You don't have to try a guy when you got 49 witnesses seeing him kill him. You don't have to try a guy. He's murdered. He's guilty. Get rid of him. When they brought him into court... I wish you'd have noticed this. When they brought him into the court, somewhere right in this area, his mother was sitting. And she jumped up and started crying and screaming police brutality and all kinds of nonsense and some of her females, all the females jumping up and crying. I guarantee his mother raised him. Only his mother raised him. And she taught him, no matter what, I'm going to feel sorry for you and I'm going to defend you. Where the dad would have been in there, he'd have been talking, you do that again, I'm going to kill you. So he only had that one side of raising. And there in that court is the total manifestation. She feels sorry for a no-good, rotten, murdering piece of crud. And she wants somebody else hung for his crimes. It's called perversion. No father would have done that. A father would have been ashamed of that son. You shame me. Give him to me for a little while. He'll look worse than that. Both correct, but you need the balance. We need one to nurture, one to protect, one that pushes for more and more and more. See, that's the father that I know in the spirit realm. My father, the nurturing side of the Godhead, always tells me how good I am, that I'm acceptable. But there's the father that speaks louder yet, and he says, but I want more out of you. I want more out of you. I'm not a pervert. I'm not imbalanced. God knows what he's doing. He does that because God desires a better kingdom, not a worse kingdom. Do you understand that? God doesn't make mothers so he can have somebody to beat up on. And he doesn't make fathers so he can have somebody to beat up on. And he doesn't want mothers beating up on fathers and fathers beating up on mothers. He wants the blended rearing, nurturing, teaching to bring up balanced people. When that happens, it's for him, by the way. You know that, don't you? Those two spirits are already there. If given to God, you have children that are reared and raised to be a balanced adult. If not given to God, you end up with a prison full of losers. Did you know it's a vicious cycle? Only God can break it. Our statistics right now, and that right now our statistics are run according to races. I don't know if you know that or not, but they are. They run according to races. And if you look at the ratio that's in prison, just look at your ratio that's in prison, you're going to be able to understand the balance of homes, how the homes are balanced, are properly spoken, imbalanced. Did you know right now that, according to statistics, two-thirds of all of the black households right now, the children are being raised by a mother. Two-thirds. Now look at your prison. What's the ratio of what's in prison? Or three-fourths. One of the two. It cannot happen. It cannot continue to happen. The pulpits in the United States cannot continue to say that single-parent households are acceptable in God's eyes. They are not. They're not acceptable. Why are they not acceptable? Because of the decisions you make are going to affect generations. How are you going to empty the prisons? You're going to start teaching people that divorce is not the best way. And single-parent households are not even acceptable. Your children are going to end up perverted against God's will. Why is that? Because I can't be a mother. You can't make me be a mother. You can't be a father. Nobody can make you be a father. Just cannot happen. You need the balance. Women never deny the feelings that God has given you. If you want to go over and hug a baby, you do that. Just don't drag me with you. If it's somebody else's baby, don't come to me and say, isn't this baby cute? You might get the answer. Don't try to force me to be like you. I refuse. In Jesus' name, I refuse. Never submit to a society that puts down the difference between male and female. Preach the difference. Say, viva la difference. Never give in to society that pressures. Never give in to a society. I'll say it right. Never give in to pressure. Society pressures. That's what I'm trying to say. That drive you away from motherhood. You know, in my generation alone, I've seen a mother that's exalted for being a housewife into now she's a third-class citizen.
Yep. Right.
And it's a lie from hell.
Right.
It's a lie from hell.
Right.
If we can't learn by watching, then learn by listening. I'm telling you, it's a lie from hell. The world is lost without you. Satan desires to remove motherhood and replace it with daycare centers and careers.
That's right.
So he knows what he's doing better than y'all know what you're doing. You need a broad view of what's going on. Satan wants divorces. Listen, I'm going to say this plain, and you can broadcast this on any airwaves you want to. But Satan would love, most of all, to have mothers raising children. That would be the worst thing that can happen to the United States, to Christianity, is for mothers to raise children alone. Y'all don't like that, do you? Well, I'm sorry, it's the truth. That thing in you that God put in you that drives you to nurture is from God. Use it as God desires. Be who you are and let the man be who God made him. And if you have friends or you have in your family or whatever, somebody that is trying to raise, a woman that is trying to raise a child by himself, please preach to him the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Her. Tell her. It's illegal in God's eyes. Your kid's going to end up to be a pervert. How's that? Because you have a pervert lifestyle. Wouldn't that be a thing to preach? That any woman that's trying to raise a child by herself is a pervert. Why? Because she's going against the will of God. Are you hearing me? Going against the will of God. Well, my husband left me. Find another one. The Bible won't even call you a widow unless you try. But don't you leave your husband. Because then the Bible will call you an adulterer if you do. Now, do you want me to say that again? Because I know you're building up to teaching somebody that. That's why you're here, right? The Bible says if you leave your wife, your husband, woman, if you leave your husband and you marry again, you are an adulterer. Y'all know it says that? Okay. If a man left you because he just would not have anything to do with God, then he doesn't even exist to God. You pray another one in. You talk to God about it. Don't you live by anybody else's rules. You talk to God about it, knowing that God's will is that your child have a father.
Amen.
God also knows that you cannot make a living for those two, or for that child, and make a living also. You can't make a living and raise the child by yourself.
That's right.
They'll end up in daycare. You know what's in daycare? Other kids just like them, with no parents, no father, no leading, no guiding. It's a stinking babysitting center so that you won't have to do it.
Right.
That's exactly what public school is, by the way, too. It's a perverted babysitting center while you go out to make money so you can have a little better car or a little better clothes and you don't give a flip about your kids.
Right.
How's that for straight?
Right.
I said, how's that for straight?
Right.
I know we get forces and pressures on us. I know that. I know that. How we handle those is what counts. You have children. Woman, if you have children, your husband's gone. If those children see you falling on your knees and crying out for God, you won't raise perverts. But if they see you stand up saying, I don't need no man, you are a pervert and you are teaching them perversion. I didn't make the rules up. I didn't make them up. The Bible also says that a woman that enters into her prayer time without a covering, God will not hear their prayers. Did you know that? The covering is not referring to a hat or a hanky. It's referring to a husband. That's another teaching. Now, just in case you heard me say that a woman needs to stay in the house barefoot and pregnant, which anybody knows me knows better than that, I'm going to read to you Proverbs 31. You don't have to listen to Stan. You can listen to God. And you all know this because I'm going to read it every Mother's Day, every birthday. I don't care. This is a scripture that every woman ought to learn. If she wants to defend herself from being put down, this is the one you do. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? I was just fixing to say, the reason that question, the answer is no one, because I don't believe that Harry went out searching for one. I think God put them together. Even in his heart, he could have said, I want a virtuous woman. The question is, how are you going to find her? Right? So this is not it's a rhetorical question in that you don't need to answer. God's got the answer. When you're young and stupid, you think you can do anything. When you get a little older, you know that you didn't get a good wife because you went looking. You got a good wife because God came in and said, you two meet, and you stay together the rest of your lives. Who can find the virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. That doesn't mean if she's bringing in rubies, her worth is more than rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. In other words, a wife's job is not to spin him out of existence. A wife's job is to create gain in him, whatever that takes. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That means not one gossipy word against her husband. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. That doesn't mean she went to the furthest Albertsons. Doesn't mean that. That means she went out and worked for somebody. She also rises while it is yet night for you late sleepers and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. It's nice for the woman to get breakfast in bed once in her life. But according to this, she's to get up and have breakfast ready when he gets up. She considers a field and buys it. Why? Because she has access to the bank account because her husband trusts her. He doesn't believe that if he leaves money in the account, she's going to find a place to spend it. Why is this important? Because the way you act and the way you do is going to create a change for generations. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She's never satisfied. Did you see what that said? She makes a little money here. She invests it again. With her husband's permission, because he trusts her. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. That doesn't mean that you hold your arm up here and flap. That's not strengthening your arms. That means there's not a lot of flap because your arms are strong. How do you like that one? Stands on a terror again. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Can I tell you something? The only way the needy are going to be fed is for the women to want to do it, because I don't have 1 ounce of... To me, if you're not eating, you're not working, you can go to blazes. You have no feelings, Stan. Thank you from last Sunday's message. Thank you. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. How does she know that? Well, she provided it. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple because she wants to turn her husband on. That's Stan's version. It wasn't in there, but that's... Her husband is known in the gates. He's known as that no good scoundrel that treats me bad. No, because those words don't come out of her mouth. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. See, she's not barefoot and pregnant in the home. She's out and about. That's okay, as long as the other things apply. She's gained to him, not lost. Strength and honor her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Well, that would be fresh. Could I turn on TV from a woman and hear wisdom? Dr. Laura tried that, and the whole world called her stupid. Don't know what I'm talking about? She still said some wise things. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. I like the way those two words are blended there. Though kindness is not a feeling, kindness is based in law. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. If every woman in the United States that had time in the mornings or the afternoons would turn the TV off and not listen to one Oprah or anything else on that television, the man would be a lot richer. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And he praises her. And he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you, Connie, excel them all. You husbands need to turn to your wives and say that. And if it's not true, call those things that aren't as if they are. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now that's what God said. Let me tell you a little teeth in that as a father would look at it. If you don't praise her, I'll find somebody that will. A family is God's design. Seek God for that family. This is non-gender speaking to you. I don't care what gender you are. Seek God for your family. Teach your little ones to seek God for their family so that we can remove perverted news and empty the prisons. God is the only answer to your questions. God is the only answer to your fears. He is the only hope. And now let me put a period in that sentence. He is hope. He's not the only hope. He is hope. He's not the last resort. He is the resort. I'm going to read to you Revelations 1:8 again, but I'm going to put some more of Revelations in there. Revelations 1:8. The reason I'm saying this is I want you to understand that this is not Stan's opinion. This is God's law. You can call it his suggestions. You can call it promises. You can call it anything you want to. But the bottom line is it's life or death, blessings or curses. Choose you this day. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 21:6-8. Revelation 21:6-8, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Listen to this. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. I need you more. Amen. To somebody that sings, I need you more than yesterday, more than the air I breathe. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Overcomes what? Overcomes every temptation, overcomes the pressures of society, overcomes everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, I choose you this day, overcomer or coward. That's the two choices. You will overcome or you are a coward. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. That's whether you're lying to yourself or to somebody else. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What's a liar? A liar is one that goes against the will and the word of God and says it's okay. That's a liar. That's a coward. That's one that doesn't intend to overcome. They're just going to go with the flow. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13 through 15. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now listen, blessed are those who do His commandments. You know what doing your commandment is? Let's just get down to a basic again. If I am born a female, that is a commandment in my life. If I go against that commandment, I am destined to be in the lake of fire. If I am born a male, that is the commandment in my life. If I marry a woman, I become the head of that household. That is not a suggestion. That is a commandment in my life. And if I don't obey that commandment, I will participate in the lake of fire. God said to me, the man, I hate the effeminate. So if I decide to get sweeter, I'm going against the commandment of God in my life. So I don't intend to get sweet for any of you. He didn't make me sweet. I'm not interested in kisses and hugs and sweet words. I'm interested in the commandments in my life. Let's just talk about that. We'll get it on with that. Because I want to participate in being blessed in all things. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Did you know that scripture right there opened the Bible for me? Because it made me go back to Genesis and find out that the way of the tree of life is not blocked, but the angels guard and direct the way to the tree of life. Did you hear what I said? All I got to do is look at the Word and know who God is. God would never block me from the tree of life. So those angels are directing the way to the tree of life. That's what the commandments of God do. Breaking the commandment of God got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. But where do you think God wants you and me, Adam and Eve?
The garden.
Isn't that what his first instinct, if that's what you want to call it, his first will was? For us to be in the garden, and why would we want the Bible to say that you're blocked out of that now? Why wouldn't we see that the Bible says, I'm trying to direct your way back to... That's what it says. That he may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Verse 15. Here's your other side. Here's your other choices. Are y'all preachers and teachers? Are you ministers?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the other choice for those that won't participate. They call themselves Christians. You know, it dawned on me this morning, once again, fresh and anew. We had that lady in Texas that killed her children. Was it five of them? And she was a church member, a Christian. No. I don't care what her name is signed up to. I don't care what her testimony sounds like. She went against the commandments of God, thou shalt not murder your children at least. And she'll have her place in the lake of fire unless God Himself intervenes. That's the sentence she's chosen. We now have the BTK killer. There was a top deacon in the church, associated with the pastor all the time, and that dimwit couldn't even tell the difference. Murdering over a period of, 20 years or more? And now his pastor's faithful to visit him. Yeah, now you're faithful to him. Why weren't you teaching the commandments of God when he was out there murdering? That's when he needed to hear them. Now you're just going to get him saved from himself. You didn't save anybody else in the process. Outside are dogs. Outside of that city gate are sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters. And whoever loves and practices a lie. What is a lie? Anything that's opposite from the truth. Anything that is not the truth is a lie. I heard a last night on the news, Pastor so-and-so was on television, Fox News, black lady. She ran a church school. They needed teachers. The guy came in, she looked at his resume, and the guy was more honest than her. He said, and by the way, I'm a convicted murderer. She said, when was that? 10 years ago, and I'm out on probation. Well, you're hired. It's 10 years ago. And so he molested and raped 3 girls in that school. One of the girls came and said, he's doing this. She said, well, I'll watch him and find out. And we have a newsman. Bill O'Reilly, you got to watch him sometime. He said, are you crazy? I'm sorry, it was Geraldo of all people. He was taken, that's right. Geraldo's a wicked man himself. And the wicked man is saying, are you nuts? Any dimwit knows not to hire a murderer and put him in a school. Well, we believe, here's the mother coming out. We believe in giving man second chance.
She believed in him more than she did the little girl.
You know what Geraldo said? Do you think the parents have any rights? Shouldn't they make the choice if a murderer teaches my child or not? She never got rattled. She was set in believing she was right. Why? Because she lied to herself and she loved the lie. It profited the school to believe a lie. And Pastor so-and-so is going to go to hell if she don't get saved, according to this right here. I don't care who she thinks she is. There's one more thing we need to trust. I trust that the mother's in the mothers, and I trust the father's in the fathers. It was already there before the foundation of the earth. Nothing you can say different about it. But there's one more thing that I know because I'm going to believe the truth and reject a lie. You know what that is? I have the answer. And it's already in me. If I can believe the mother's in you and I can believe the father's in you, then I can believe the answer's in me. It's already there. I don't have to work it up or froth it up or dance it up. It's already there. You know what else? Therefore, we're the answer. Are you listening to me? If I already have the answer, then it doesn't do any good to be trapped in me. If I just keep it quiet and say, I have an answer, but I'm not going to tell you, then I'm becoming part of the lie. I'm going against the commandment of God. I need to be able to speak up. I need to be able to live it up in front of people as an example. And I need to be sometime able to put my foot right in the middle of it. That means I cause trouble like you wouldn't believe, just like Jesus did. I'm not even goofy enough to accept. I got a fax the other day. I don't remember exactly. I think it was about abortion or something. They wanted me to stand up what was right. Cast your vote. Same-sex marriages, that's right. They went to the, well, if you're a Christian, you're against same-sex marriages.
That's right.
If you're not against same-sex marriages, you are not against a Christian because you are going against the commandments of God. Jesus doesn't go against the commandments of God. Don't you call yourself Christ-like and stand for what's against the Bible. Vote, yes or no. Call this 1-900 number.
No.
Down there in little bitty print it says, call will take 3 minutes, and it was $9.95 a minute or $12.95 a minute or whatever it was. By law, they have to provide one other number, and that's so you can get disengaged from their fax list. So I picked it up, and I dialed the 800 number. And cast my vote. If you want my vote is free. You can't charge me for that. This is democracy.
Right.
You want me to charge, then you are the pervert trying to get to me. I have the answer. The answer is you're wrong. Get out of my life. There's the simplicity of our life, guys. You hear me? We start with we. I don't start with you. I start with me. And I look for those things that are ungodly or ungodlike. Those little beliefs that I have that probably God, maybe He doesn't agree with. You know what I'm saying? I need to talk. I need to really speak. I'm not talking to newborns here. I'm talking to people that have already dealt with massive things in their lives that go against God's will, and you've been working on them, and you've been casting out, and praise God for that. We're talking about the rest of the way. This is the Father talking to you, saying, you can do better. Now you need to deal with those things that are a little shady. I'm not too sure about. Well, then, here's the word. Abstain from the very appearance.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that you have to dress in a gunny sack tied to the top. That doesn't mean that you never speak a word because somebody might judge you as ungodly. Did you hear me? The best example, the best teaching I've had in my life was his ex-wife. She came in the nicest sheep's clothing. She professed Jesus Christ as her Savior, professed Him on every corner. But I could do nothing right because I didn't picture, I wasn't like her, Jesus. Well, either she needs to hear the message this morning saying, you're going to worship yours and I'm going to worship mine. That's one thing she can do. The other thing is she can get out of my hair. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to minister as gentle as I know how, and most of you know that's not too gentle. I'll try, but it don't always work. I really do. Many times I try and it just don't work. I don't understand it, but yeah, I do too. As of this morning, I understand it. But I'm going to worship and serve the Jesus that's in me already. And you know what I'm not going to try to do? Change Him. I've lived a good portion of my life trying to change the God that's in me to fit the God that society wants to see. Well, you can't say that. That's not like Christ. Christ is, Jesus is love. Yes, He is. Yes, absolutely. I cannot deny that. And I'll preach that from the housetops. You don't understand the word love. That I say to you also. Well, Jesus wouldn't say that to me. He just did. He just did. Are you the answer?
Yeah.
Do you have an answer? That's number one. Because the Bible tells you to be prepared. Have an answer.
Yep. Amen.
Which eventually will make you the answer.
That's right.
You never would serve Jesus if you didn't think He had an answer.
That's right.
And then when you found out He had an answer, then you went further and found out He was the answer.
Yep. Yep.
Now, mothers, you're the answer. Fathers, you're the answer. But you're not the answer by yourself, either one of you. You're only the answer in unison. Well, I'm single. What do I do? Well, you are never single. If you are single, you're out of God's commands anyway. Another lesson I've had from this body, and that is that a woman cannot be single. She has to be married to Jesus Christ. You must be married. Women, you must be married. Even if you're single, you still have to be married. You have to be married to Jesus Christ. And then you have to seek Him. And here's what He's going to do. When you ask Him and you submit to them, He's going to bring you somebody, or He's going to bring you Himself that makes you totally, totally at peace with His Word. And that depends on age. More than anything, that depends on age. Because there's other things boiling in you. God put them there. He put them there for you to use, and He wants you to use them correctly.
Right.
Paul said, if it's marry or burn, marry. Now that's not exactly romantic, is it? Marry me or burn. That's what Jesus says to every one of us. Marry me or burn. And then when we marry him, we find out we get on fire for him the rest of our lives. We're burning anyway.
Okay.
Different kind, but it's the good kind.
Yep.
Well, Stan, I just don't know how this is going to fit so-and-so. Well, so-and-so is supposed to fit the Word. The Word is not to fit so-and-so. Please, if I can get anything to you across this morning, a man that don't work, don't eat. Start there. Start there. A man that loves a lie is going to go to hell. Start there. If I'm not doing my part, I'm just sitting. I'm disobeying God's commands. I'm lying to myself, saying it's okay, and I'm on my way to the fire. Those of you that were touched by Connie's tears, well, forget Connie's tears. Be touched with the truth. The truth is that whatever I'm doing or you are doing right at this moment is affecting generations. And not only you, but those you know, what they're doing is affecting generations. And if you have children, you're affecting those generations more than if you're just by yourself. Because they're just little sponges taking in what they see. They're going to repeat it. You know, I never was touched at all, or have not been touched at all. I said to somebody the last couple of days, something about Mother's Day, I said, I don't have a mother. I don't have a mother. And I told my wife, I said, Happy Mother's Day, but you ain't my mother. Well, Stan, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm just getting some truth. See, my mother spent her wad already. It's gone. She can never do any more. I don't know when that stopped. Naturally say, well, when she died, I don't know when it stopped. I don't know. There's all kinds of psychiatrists that will tell you when a mother's influence stops in a child's life. I don't believe it ever stops.
Amen. I agree.
Because that mother was created before the foundations of the earth. That was revealed to me in her life will go on for generations.
Right.
And not taking breath doesn't mean the influence has stopped.
Right.
Now, here's the deal. The Father's influence is there too, both of you. If you've screwed up, now I'm looking, I don't see any woman or man in here that's ever screwed up, so I know I'm not talking to you. But if you've ever messed up and you've made bad decisions and you put bad influence in your children, that's where your husband Jesus comes in. Because he has the ability to arrest. At your salvation, listen to me, at your salvation, he casts all of that as far as it is from the east, is from the west. Not just in you, but in others.
Praise God.
And they can't use you to fail anymore. Because your husband says so. Not because you say so, because your husband says so. And it's already there. Are you going to take advantage of it? Are we going to stop walking cowed down? Mother, our Father. We don't have to walk like this because we've done so many bad things. Because if you've done so many bad things and you don't think they'll go away, then you don't think Jesus paid enough. It's against the commandments and you're on your way to lake of fire. Stop that walk. Believe that Jesus says, I'll cast them into a sea that's so deep nobody can go to them. Not even your children when they try to look at you and say, I did that because of you. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I gave them to Jesus. He erased them. If you did it, it's because of you. What are you saying, Stan? I'm saying that you're going to mess up and God's going to take up the slack as long as you are married to Him. He's going to take care of it. We have the answer. Therefore, as soon as we get a hold of that, as soon as I get a hold of I have the answer, then I become the answer. How's that work out? One day, you'll realize that your children are kind of looking at you like, I remember my son was afraid of my spankings. That's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm not going to apologize for that. The Bible says, if you love them, you'll chastise them. And he was talking to somebody about how rough my spankings were. And I said, Jason, in front of witnesses, how many spankings did you ever get? What was his answer? I thought he might have said three, but it was two or three. I know one he knows of. Everybody in the whole state of Texas remembers that one. But that was for lying. And I don't want my son to go to hell. I'd rather beat him to death on the premises than have him go to hell for eternity. You need to remember that. That's the father's feeling. Mother can say, poor baby. Father's going to beat him into a baby state if necessary. And when he thought about that, now this is my son trying to be the father now. He's raising his own sons. When he thought about that, he was embarrassed. Because he's already given his sons more whippings than that. So he has to eat his thoughts, he has to eat his words. Why? Because I'm married to Jesus, and he's erasing those things. He may have already erased them in me, but he's still erasing them in him. And I said, Jason, if I were you, I'd look at my life and I would see, am I a total failure or not? And if your answer is, I'm not a failure, then mimic the way I raised you. Don't mock it. But if you're a failure, then it's my fault. Then don't do anything like I did. But that's your only two choices. You have to declare yourself a failure to do it different than me. Hey, you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Anybody in here ever heard Jesus tell you that you're a failure?
No.
I didn't say you said it. I didn't say if somebody else said it. I said, anybody in here ever hear Jesus say it? He's the answer, right? Then you have an answer. You're not a failure. Don't let anybody, I don't care how low they are, don't let anybody ever tell you you're a failure, because then you mock the Word of God and what Jesus did. You were, I'm sure, as a flesh man, you were a tremendous failure. You know, let me tell you something. Adam and Eve lived in perfection, and they totally rebelled against God by eating that fruit. And God so loved them that he followed them out of the garden. Are you hearing me? Garden spot was where God lived. He followed them out of the garden. He didn't say, oh, you poor dear children, I forgive you. That's not what he said. He said, you need some hide here. And he made them skin. Because now they had to be protected from what Jesus never wanted them to see. You hear me? He still worked on them. Why? Why would he cover them so that they could live? Because there's going to come a day when I'm going to approach him again. And I'm going to say, do you want back into the garden? You know why God lets us live through all of our stupid mistakes? So we'll have a time and a place where we can meet him and we can be placed back in the garden where we're supposed to be. Mother, Father, take your obligation and teach your children what I just taught you about that. Teach them. Don't let them slide. Teach them. Don't beat them. Don't browbeat them. Don't mock them. But stand firm. Stand firm. God hates the effeminate. Do you hear me? That means soft. That means soft. My children in the last few years have known me, have become to know me as not one that yells. I don't get mad. Why do you want to go into your children's house and get mad? You don't get the right to do that. This is their children, your children's house. You don't have the right to get to preach in their face. Now, if they're in your house, that's different. You can do all the preaching you want, but when you're in theirs, you're in theirs. But you know what you can be? You can be the one that's the same yesterday, today, forever.
Yeah.
You know who that is? My daughter and my son remember me. Remember Connie as the one that stands for this and doesn't stand for that. Now back then, that included punishment if it was disobeyed. But now, it just requires a firm stand. You know what I think about that. Well, Dad, what if? No. Here's the why. God says, God says, God says. And I'm on his side, which means I'm on your side. But if I get on your side, that means I'm not on his side. When you look at your wife, when I look at my wife and say, enough, here's my decision. I'm not against her. I'm for her because I'm for God. Is that the head of the house? Mm-hmm. Y'all full of joy?
Yeah.
Good. Real joy, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm thankful of? I'm thankful that I don't have to smile. I can be full of joy. Why? Because I don't have to prove it to anybody. This day, I'm thankful for my mother. My mother was the most grounding influence that I've ever met. Not my dad, my mother. My dad had a hard time getting a hold of his carnal nature. So every once in a while, he'd fly off the handle. Y'all know what that means, right? Fly off the handle. That never instilled confidence in me. Remember that when you're around people. Flying off the handle does not instill confidence in you. But my mom was the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what happened, no matter how bad the fight, no matter what, she was there and she did not change. She could get mad and stay calm. She could get happy and stay calm. She could fight and stay calm. That's a pretty good example. She defended Dad when he was wrong. Did you hear me? She would never openly disagree with him. Ever. 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 Ever, ever openly disagree with him. You know what that instilled in me? Total respect for her. Even when she made me mad. I didn't say the husband's always right. I said never disagree with him. You got a husband that's higher than him. Talk to that one. Your husband's making some decisions. I remember telling Connie one time. She got so mad. And when Connie gets mad, she wants to whip something. And I don't mean with a belt. Now, she looked up at Jason one day and got mad at him. And just she's going to whip him right there. Because he sassed her a bit. I took her in the back room and I said, don't you ever try to knock out of my son what I've been trying to put in him for about 12 years now. You understand what I'm saying? I'm raising my son. I raised my son to stand up and make some statements. I want him to be that man. Woman, don't try to knock that out of a man. That's what you want in him, even if you don't like it. That's God coming out. He's in preparation to be the warrior that attacks, not the one that defends all day long. Come on. She didn't argue with me. Do you think she agreed with me? I would say not totally. But marriage is not a democracy. I didn't leave that out for a vote. I made a statement and I wanted it followed. Sounds like a one-sided life, doesn't it? Well, you need to talk to Connie. Let her preach a message sometime and see if it's one-sided. See if she does not have confidence in the man being the head of the house. Not because I'm the man, because God's the man. Y'all stand with me. Well, don't stand with me. I think we still got some more things to do. I'm getting a habit here. let me say this to you. Are the hearts clear? This is not a great altar time. But I would suggest to you that if the Holy Spirit has touched you in any way, deal with it. Talk to him about it. Change. Then your hearts will be clear. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's pray and end this. Father, I ask you now to seal your word, not mine, in your people. But just don't seal it up so that it can't come out and accomplish something. Seal it so it becomes life, not just to them, but to other people. In those high friction areas that are causing great grief, let them be the answer that maybe it looks like they throw fuel on the fire. But they throw word that brings peace that passes understanding. They trust you. begin to trust you to speak into situations that create healing and not social prosperity, but healing. Let them understand that they're the trees of the nations and their leaves will heal people. That means what falls out of them from their lifestyle and from their words will heal the nations. Let that be established in their lives, Lord. For your honor, for your glory, we pray this. We proclaim that it is finished. Let thy will be done in us. Those things that have already been put there, let them spring forth for thy glory, thy honor, and thy kingdom in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen. Okay, the Mother's Day things begin, whatever that is.
Well, they're probably finishing up out in the back room there. I know that Amanda's been doing some things for the ladies. So why don't we have, so we don't leave anyone out, we want to have all of the ladies come forward. All ladies. Linda, come on forward. You're a lady too. Jonathan, you're not a lady.
He knows.
Didn't Pastor Stan get that through to you? No.
He's
I know he is.
He knows.
Yeah, we thought it would be appropriate for Jonathan and Amanda to be the ones to bring the gifts to the mothers. And in advance, I want to thank Amanda for her preparation and what she's got in her hands. That's what she's been busy at doing. And also want to thank Patrick. Yes.
Yeah.
I want to thank Patrick and Donna for the other gift that is yet to come, for their journey that they had to make to gather the treasures that are in that gift. Anyway, let's see. Want to make sure that we're not leaving anybody out. Okay.
Are you saying some of us look like ladies?
Yeah, well, I didn't see Jean there, and I thought, well, Jean better be
okay.
Up here. let's see. You know what? I want to give you a chance to say something.
Uh-oh.
Now don't go preaching now.
Well, everybody knows today is Mother's Day. And, well, last night was, yesterday mostly, my mom had a show. And when we came home, or on our way home, we tried to go through the Eisenhower Tunnel, and there was about a foot of snow. And my mom said that, what did you get me for Mother's Day? I'm like, I don't know. So this morning, I got up, and Amanda made a breakfast for Mom and Dad. A really, really big breakfast. And I made her a card.
Good, praise God. Thank you for that, Jonathan. Anyway, we are thankful for our mothers. We're thankful for this bond in the family that we have here. And we know that God is going to bless generations past you because of the correct decisions that you are going to make in the lives that you're going to reach out to, in the people that you will speak and come in contact with. God is going to bless generations past you. Amen. 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 Well, Amanda, if you want to bring the gifts to the ladies, to the mothers. And if anyone else has anything else they want to share, then here is the mic.
This is a whole lot better than a rose.
Well, by the way, our journey was not just about you guys. I was able to I was able to bless my wife on to kind of celebrate, and we went up to what was it, Mountain Man? What was it? No, what's the name of the mountain? No, the place we ate.
Mountain High
for dinner. So I combined it.
That was special.
Well, I have another Mother's Day card for my mom that was made by me.
Uh-oh. Well, sisters try to outdo you every time, don't they? Kiss your sister.
This is a poem that I wrote. It's called My Mom. I have a mom that is gentle like a summer breeze. She is beautiful like a rose and cunning in a nice way. Firm like a mountain, powerful like the waterfall. Warm like a sunrise on a summer morning. She has faith like a mustard seed, a love for me that only a mother can have, and a heart to love God. She has wisdom beyond my time, compassion like a river, and she is faster than the flight of the eagle at my call. The strength of a bear serves to possess. She has the endurance of time, the knowledge of an owl, the patience of times kept by her. And she works hard like the ant. Sometimes she is busy as a bee, yet I love her more than I can say. I am grateful to be blessed with the best mother in the whole world.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't want to cut this off too quick now. I think we've already ruined your makeup, so... Bill, would you come up here and pray for the mothers?
First and foremost, Father, we speak a blessing over these ladies that you've called into motherhood, Lord.
Yes.
Before the foundation of time, you called them and you set them in place to be mothers. We thank you, Lord, that they chose you. And because of that, Lord, their families are blessed. They're blessed. We're blessed as a fellowship, as a church, Lord, because of their faithfulness to you and their choice.
Yes.
Father, we again speak blessings over them. We speak the mighty good things you have for them, Lord, and we thank you for them, Lord. Continue to show them, to cause them to grow, to lead us, to guide us, our children, and our children's children, Lord, in the way that they should go. We thank you, Lord, for the call and the fact that they heeded that call. We give you praise and honor and glory. Bless this day, Lord. Cause it to be a wonderful day in their lives and in the lives of the children and the families, Lord, as we celebrate this day and we honor the gift that you gave us, Lord, and mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Are we through? Okay, you'll be dismissed. By the way, one other thing. We have to make a decision pretty quick, but what was the dates, Richard, for the men? Sixteenth, 17th, and 18th, starting on the evening of the 16th, ending on the afternoon of the 18th. There'll be about 7 meals, the way I understand it. It's up at, what's the name of that place again?
Snow Mountain YMCA.
Snow Mountain YMCA, up there, not too far from Harry's house, Cabin in the Mountains. It's a pretty place, and if you want, it's $95. That's pretty cheap for everything they're providing. And it'll be a good time for men to get together. By the way, we don't have forever to make our decisions. If you want to go, make sure that Richard knows. 7 days. You still need to throw your name in the pot because we have to commit dollar-wise within 7 days. And so please let Richard know I want to go. And if you just don't want to go, then maybe you'll pay for somebody else going. Anyway, y'all be dismissed and have a fellowship a little bit. That's what we've set up back there to do.